Press play, curtain up, and now we're in. It's time to take a spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey. Say no more.
Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life in New York City.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell, and we are, as always, your drama podcast hosts, back again.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. Dylan, what's going on in this spooky season?
I know.
Halloween has passed us. We've rounded the corner into November. What's going on?
It's been a while since we've recorded. I feel like we recorded a couple episodes, and then now we're sitting down again with an amazing guest who we'll get to in a second. And I just caught off guard. And I would say that the most exciting thing that happened recently is we had our annual Spooky Sisters Weekend.
Yes, we call it Spooky Sisters Weekend because Spooky Brothers Weekend sounds
it's not an alliteration.
I know.
So we do this thing every year where we will only hang out with each other, which is not unlike any other weekend of the year. And we usually go see a show. We maybe see a movie. We always have like a movie marathon where we watch Hocus Pocus and watch a lot of the Scream movies this year.
Yes, this year was the Scream.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a trilogy. I suppose it's a series.
But yeah, it was only supposed to be a trilogy, and then they relaunched with 4.
Which I think Scream 4 is the best one.
Controversial.
I know. But it's really fun. Hayden Panettiere, she understands the assignment. And I mean, it's a great cast overall. Yes.
Kristen Bell is in it. Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
The entire OG cast.
Alison Brie.
It's great.
It's really good. But the play that we saw this year.
Game Changer,
which we have seen, but we saw before downtown last year. But it was the, you know, groundbreaking, wonderful slave play.
Provocative. Challenging. All the adjectives that everyone's saying to make themselves seem very intelligent.
I know. And it was so good. And
it was incredible.
It did what a Broadway transfer, I think, should do, is it's still... It kept its downtown flair, and I don't want to spoil anything for those of you who haven't seen it, but you must go see it. So it still felt as powerful and impactful as it did downtown, but they made some really good changes to kind of tighten it up because it is without an intermission and it does run at about 2 hours. So,
you know, I've heard that a lot of people will walk out in the first like 30, 40 minutes of the show, but because we had rushed the show, you can get $39 rush tickets to anyone who's listening. Very, very
Hallelujah.
Great deal. And we were in the closer to the front. In fact, we were in the front row. That's where the rush seats are. We didn't get to see if anybody left, but I certainly heard this teen boy behind me going like, "What the fuck?" and things like that during, you know, once the, I'd say like there's sort of like an act break and
yeah,
but it just doesn't break. At that point, he was very disturbed and also
intrigued,
maybe titillated.
Oh,
a little bit.
Oh,
too.
Yes,
it was great. Paul Nolan can do no wrong in my book, and it was just a really amazing show.
The whole cast, seriously, mm-hmm. great.
And Connor is in love with one of the cast members. Maybe we won't say their name on this podcast, but I'm
literally addicted.
If anyone has any internal ties to slave play,
let me know. I'm sure you know. I don't want to say his name in case we get him on the podcast as a guest at some point, but.
We'll see.
James, come on the pod. Okay. Anyway, Dylan, I think we should jump right into it.
Let's bring in our guest.
Because we've got another heartthrob sitting here at this very moment.
We do.
Our guest today is the definition of a leading man, honey.
Yes, God.
Hailing from the great state of Ohio and now bringing his talents to the city of New York, he has been seen slaying in the National Tour of Kinky Boots, breaking hearts as Danny in Grease, ripping hearts open as Tony in West Side Story, and stealing hearts as Dimitri in Anastasia on the Broadway.
That's right.
Most recently, our guest released a truly heartfelt and heartbreaking EP called January to June, which you must listen to ASAP. I call him Broadway's boyfriend. We all call him Moose's father. And additionally, we all call him the wonderful, genuine, insanely talented Zach Adkins.
Hey!
Oh,
Hello. I was warned about the intro, but that was pretty great. I wasn't ready.
Fully insane.
My squeaky chair is going to make its cameo in this podcast. Okay.
Zach, thank you so much for doing this.
No, this
with
is
us.
So fun.
Are you confused, alarmed?
No, it's just
yet?
Like a bunch of Ohio boys hanging out in a room.
A bunch of Ohio boys. That's that might be the title of the episode already. That's what this is.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
When you texted me today and your area code came up, I was like, oh, this feels like home. Like, this I is like know. A hometown area code.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a comfort.
Well, you have a.
I'm not the same
you're
as
very,
you.
Okay.
I'm
yeah.
the 216.
Yeah. That's what
more
we
the Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, that's yeah, right.
I feel that.
And I've always felt connected to you from those Ohio roots.
Oh, yeah. They breed different people in Ohio. It's very Midwestern, but that's not the Midwest.
That's the thing is everyone always says like, oh, you're from Ohio, cornfields and all this stuff. Did you grow up by cornfields?
I grew up near cornfields.
Okay.
I actually
okay.
grew up on the lake. So it was a lake town.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little sleepy lake village.
The snow belt.
Oh, gosh. We were in the snow mm-hmm. belt. Then,
yeah. So. Same. We were just south of Cleveland.
Yes.
Oh, I learned how to drive in the snow.
Yes.
Because my birthday falls in winter.
That's okay. right.
So I learned.
We got a Capricorn.
Learned it all.
Y'all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A big old Capricorn.
Which means what?
I'm stubborn.
Stubborn.
I'm a stubborn
strong,
guy.
Strong okay. beliefs. Strong beliefs.
Yeah, yeah. Very yeah. set in my ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Capricorns are great. My grandmother's a Capricorn. My father's a Capricorn.
Are you December?
January. Yeah, I'm a January baby.
January to June.
Well.
Okay.
We're
not ready.
First of all, Zach, are you well?
I'm doing fine. You know, yeah. The last 2 weeks have been insanely busy, as they always are. The fall is the busy season for the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Setting us up for the new Tony season yeah. for the coming year. So this is the busy time. So I'm hanging together by, like, a thread and some, like, drugs.
Of course.
Not like illegal drugs. Let me just yes. clarify.
Prescribed over the counter. Yeah, because you spent some time in, was it North Carolina?
Yeah, it was North Carolina.
And then you also released your EP.
Yeah.
And you just got back to the city. So it was like a whole.
Oh my goodness. It has been like, yeah, it's been a whirlwind for sure. I'm totally the guy. The EP was sitting done for a little bit, and I was okay. like, you know what? Let's just like release it on the day we open West Side. So I did. So it was just like totally
oh,
up to me.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all up to me. So I just chose to do it all at once, like a day of celebration is what I called it. So that's what we did.
That's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, it's fun to have those days where you can just kind of sit back and like marvel at what something you've created. And it was nice enough to have like a new album that I created and also a brand new show that we put together. So it was fun. It was a day of creation.
Yeah. And was Tony a dream role of yours?
Oh, it was fun. You know, I always thought I was going to be too old.
Okay.
And then it came up. And so the director used to be a huge casting director here in the okay. city, Eric Woodall. And we met that way. And so he asked me to come out and do the show. And it was like a dream come true.
I love West Side Story.
It was beautiful. It was like a concept take on it where the Sharks were all in white for the entire show and okay. the Jets were all in black for the entire show. So it was very like visually stunning. And then the set was entirely gray and lit by white until the Dream Ballet and we were all in blue. And
oh,
then
cool.
the show was lit in blue. It was amazing. So like every time me and Maria would be together, I would have the stark white light on me and she would have a very warm cream light on her. So it was very interesting.
Oh, that's
okay.
great.
I yeah. love that.
It was a cool concept.
Who's saying someone?
Yeah, because I know that in the recent Broadway revival, it was Nick Barish.
Yeah, it was a little baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little baby Nick.
Yeah.
we had one. She was an offstage singer.
Oh, okay.
So we did the whole ballet as, and we kept the Nightmare, which is a very important cut version of
oh,
that
okay.
show. People cut the Nightmare always, but we ended up doing it.
You know,
spooky.
In our Cleveland, this is actually the second time now we've mentioned our all-white production of West Side Story that we were in Cleveland. You know, we didn't know any better.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember what we did, but I do know that I was a shark who also played Doc.
Which oh, wow.
Yeah.
The
so
split cast you never thought
yes.
of.
You know? So I do remember being in the dream.
You would
sequence.
Be such a great Doc. Can I just throw that out
I
there?
I slayed.
That
he was
really
wonderful.
Oh,
I'll tell you
yeah.
what, I wanted to be
Come
Tony
on.
So bad. And I felt like it was my summer.
Yeah.
And they gave it to like the classic, like this boy who had like really done his time and he was the oldest guy in the cast. But you know, when I got Doc, I cried, went and saw the movie Up that night.
Oh,
posted
this is dating
a very
us.
Moody Facebook status. It was it was back when you still would put like Dylan McDowell doesn't understand why things happen
oh,
sometimes.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Wow. Social media was so different
yeah,
in 2009.
No, yeah, if yeah. I open Facebook, it's an accident. I just accidentally tap it. I'm like, oh, that's the wrong app. Never mind.
Well, now it's called Facebook, all capital letters. Did you know that was
yeah,
something
they just
that
rebranded
they just rebranded it.
Yuck.
Facebook.
We don't like Facebook.
We don't.
No, it's,
no.
no.
Like just middle-aged people
exactly
messaging me for things. That's all they get on Facebook. It's nothing fun.
And to remember birthdays.
Can I come see Anastasia?
Yeah, yeah. Are you? Is Anastasia still around? Are you in anything? I'm about to be in the city in 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to be in anything?
Your third grade teacher.
Yeah.
Somebody like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People exactly. who just don't understand the revolving door that's the city.
But you understand social media really well.
I try. You know, it sucks when that becomes part of your job. But sure. You know, it's a very fine line. So there's a decision a lot of people make. And I watched a lot of my friends make this decision when they start to garner a following.
Yeah.
They make the decision if it's going to be personal or if it's going to be completely commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see the change of the post where if you're going to start to endorse products or if you're going to just keep it very personal. And mine is very personal. I'm
yes.
very open on social media. I'm in this new phase of my life with this album where authenticity is the word that I've been pushing. And so the album's super authentic, but also like the way I've been living my life recently has been super authentic where
oh, yeah.
being Ohio boys, I'm sure you know this, we don't talk about a lot of like important things in our life. Mm-hmm. We kind of scoot around them.
Yeah.
And I've really been diving head on in public and in private where I really just say exactly what happened. So, I mean, for example, Anastasia was a very wonderful experience.
Yeah.
I got my first original company member, and then I got bumped into my first lead, but it came with being bought out because a stunt cast needed to save the show because
yes.
it was failing.
Yes.
And I didn't talk about it openly, and the producers were praising me about how I handled it like a mature adult. And truly, I'm very candid about the whole thing.
Sure.
I think people should know what happened, where before I was embarrassed by it. And, you know, there's something very different between being bought out to save a show and then being fired from a show.
So, exactly.
And that was like the difference that I had to make in my mind. So, yeah.
I actually remember when you, because it was about a year ago, that it was end of November, right?
Yeah.
You left Anastasia. And I remember them posting all of these things on social media about it's our leading man's last day. Like, I remember them, like, really celebrating you in the end.
Yeah.
And not just, like, kind of brushing you aside and bringing in the pop star that they did.
The temperature in that theater was, the energy in the air was so strange.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. It was very nice to be celebrated in that way, even from the fan side of it.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted my replacement to know that, you know, like, it's not his fault. He didn't
right.
make that call.
Right.
So
yes.
when people were coming after him, I was like, no, we're going to protect this guy because if he can save the show, by all means, please save
yes.
our show.
Well, because yeah. there's that reality part of it that sets in that's like of the business.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to sell tickets?
Yeah.
And, you know, if a show is not selling as many as they were before, you have to think, like, how can we do it?
Yeah.
And it's, I was so sad that you weren't doing it.
I know.
Every night.
Well, I was the young one. So, you know, like,
okay.
everybody was original except me. So they looked at me
right.
and they said, how can we fix this problem? Even though my little pat on the back was the day they stopped paying me for Anastasia was the day they closed.
Wow.
That's, oh, so it didn't.
It lined up exactly on
okay.
the day. So.
Wow. Oh, because yeah. that was the end of your contract?
Yeah.
Okay.
We
wow.
both saw you in Anastasia.
Oh, so
you.
Separately, weirdly.
Yes.
But you were so great.
Oh, yeah. That was like a good, it was like putting on a shoe, that one. That was like a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to push or pull too much of my own self. So that was like it's like a gift to be given a part that fits you so well.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was great. I feel like you were so sweet in the role and very lovable. I don't know. It was
more
just
boyish than I think Derek maybe was a little bit more mischievous.
Oh, I agree.
The start.
Yeah.
And you were like very young. Like, I don't know. It was
cute.
And I
love
the chemistry with you and Christy, who is just,
oh my God, I saw her today.
An angel.
I ran into her on the street today.
Oh my God.
Her and her fiance. She's doing well.
Yes.
Oh, from her extravagant engagement that was like all over Broadway.com
oh,
and stuff
my
like
gosh.
That. Yes.
I stay away from those.
Yes.
I stay away from all the.
Well, she
the
had to know what was happening.
Oh, yes.
She had to know what was happening.
She had an idea, I feel. We talked about it a few times. She was like, I know it's coming on these days. So like, because you have to prepare your hands and
oh right,
right? Girls yeah. like get their nails done. You get like a diamond on the ring finger now.
Oh,
you know what I'm you've seen
oh,
those
yeah.
pictures.
All the Cleveland, Ohio going. Girls post all of that stuff.
Maybe that's
that
a Midwestern thing.
No, I don't know. Yeah,
I had a friend from college
it.
Who does it, where like the ring picture and then the diamond, like diamond on the nail.
I know
sorry.
What you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's like
it really cracks me
it's
up.
It's like an accent. Yes,
it's the
that's
accent
so
finger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Christy Altomare. She's been in my life for a long time.
I love that girl. Hey,
because of the Spring Awakening national tour.
See, I was really far behind on all that stuff. I never saw tours until I was in high school, and that was
okay.
after the Spring Awakening generation.
What year did you graduate high school?
2011.
Okay, we graduated in 2012. So we're just right behind you. Okay, okay, cool. Yeah, because we were freshmen in high school when the Spring Awakening tour came through Cleveland.
Yeah, it's so funny. I know so many people from that tour now.
Oh,
it's
they're
like
all
very
working.
Strange.
They're all working.
I mean, of course, those kids are, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great show to
Andy
be a part
Mantis
of.
Andy Mantis was on that tour.
See, I do love Andy mm-hmm. Mantis. I saw him in the revival, The Deaf West.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
I loved
which
it.
Was...
Oh, it was a beautiful production.
Yeah. So beautiful. We had Chris Rodriguez on, and she was talking all about that. Like,
yeah. Oh, she's so
a
cool.
A moment in time. Oh,
she's
great.
A wild one.
Oh,
I
my
love
God.
Her. Yeah.
She is a gem.
And, you know, you also have connection to Spring Awakening because...
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
Do you like that transition right there?
Yeah.
You were Melchior Gabor.
That's how you introduced yourself to me the first time we met.
Really?
Yeah, at 54.
I came up to you and I said, I saw you.
No, you're like, this is who I am. This is who... But I know you from this, which is
I wanted to
Spring
be like,
Awakening.
I am a Zach
Cleveland.
Atkins hipster. And like
I used to be so hipster back then.
We did. We saw you in Melchior in your college production.
That was my freshman year.
No way.
Yeah, I was a freshman. I had two leads that year as a freshman. I had a big old target on my back.
Oh my God, I'm sure.
The seniors
yeah.
were like,
so I was Barrett in
this?
Titanic. I don't know if you guys know that show.
We did not see it, but I know.
We didn't see Titanic.
Love Titanic. Yeah, it's a beautiful show. It's sometimes like when I first was listening to the cast recording, I was like, what is this? But once you're a part of it or once you see it live, oh, that music.
You know, it's a Best Musical Tony winner.
Oh, I believe mm-hmm. it. That's like, they've been trying to kick that back to Broadway pretty soon.
I just heard about a production where it was like not site specific, but like they had a big body of water and they sank the boat every night in it.
That's so
Is it
cool.
the big
the
one with like, they always do the really extravagant sets
yes.
out in mm-hmm. West? It's always
somewhere.
Like set on water somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
So who is the lead of that show? Because it's not Titanic the movie. It's like
everyone. It's like a group lead.
Okay.
I guess the lead would be Kate McGowan. Who they're all based on real people who
okay.
actually died on the ship. So yeah, take out Jack and Rose and put in a bunch of characters
okay.
that kind of fill out a plot.
It's like Love Actually on the Sea.
There you go. Well, it probably would be Love Actually on Broadway because it'd be like a who's who of Broadway stars up
yeah.
there just all dying. You know?
You're right. It's so sad.
Were you the Brian Darcy James role?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that music. If you have time,
it's Maury Yeston, right?
Oh yeah, Maury Yeston.
Okay. And it's probably going to be coming back at some point.
Yeah, Maury has a new show in the works right now. Do not remember the name, but he's a busy guy always.
Oh yeah, he's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah.
So you were does that in the fall, and then because I know Spring Awakening
yeah.
was in like March or April.
Yeah, so I did that.
It.
I did
drove
that
back
in the fall,
from...
and it was in the spring. You're exactly right. And that was the first time they had partnered with that regional theater,
the Beck Center.
Yeah, the Beck
Shout
Center.
Out.
Shout out to the
to
Beck.
The Beck.
We grew up
they'll
down
love
the street
this.
From
they'll
the
love
Beck
this.
They will. They will love it. Yes. And you were was that drama that you were this freshman and you
it
kept
was drama
leads?
And I was in love with the girl playing Venla and
Kira
so
Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like at the time she was dating this guy. And I'll clear the air about that. I was like very drawn to her. We dated for a long time after,
okay.
but she was with someone who's in the business and very famous. And they ended their relationship, and I kind of swooped in. And the next year, the sophomore year for me, we started to date.
So it wasn't like during the show.
No,
the
but
type
we had
thing.
Some beef there, me and this guy, for a while because
oh,
he thought I took his girl.
Oh, no.
No, but I was very respectful. You know,
yeah.
these Ohio boys, we can't
yes.
touch them. I was
no,
like,
no.
I know the rules, but I have these feelings. I'm young.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How could you
so
not,
funny.
Like, fall for your opposite in that show? It's such a
I
sexually
know.
Charged thing. And
oh,
it's so
gosh.
Intimate.
Well, also, like, we were so young. Like, mm-hmm. I still didn't understand the difference between real life and,
sure.
like, stage life. So, like, I was very much... Well, I have all these feelings and they're
yeah.
real. They make the show better. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
It's gross. Like, I would never do that today.
You
oh,
know,
my gosh.
And that production was incredible.
They touted that production as my best work in college, which like really could screw you up if you really think about it. But yeah, I'm very proud
yeah,
of that production.
Downhill.
I really enjoy it. Yeah. You're like, you peak freshman year. I really mm-hmm. can't work with this anymore, you know?
Yeah. So just to, like to fill some context in, because I do want to talk more about beyond college, but Connor and I grew up in the Cleveland area. Mm-hmm. Zach did as well.
Yeah.
Ashtabula. Right?
Ashtabula, you're so right.
And went to college in the Cleveland area.
Yeah.
Baldwin acclaimed.
Oh, God.
And we would go see all the shows there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it turns out stars. I mean, clearly, Zach, you know, other people who are on Broadway now, Chris McCarroll is in Lightning Thief.
Caitlin Houlihan.
Exactly.
Yeah. Colton Ryan.
Colton Ryan.
Cool.
Colton Ryan, come on the pod.
Oh, you want to?
Yeah.
I can make that work.
Oh, here we go.
Dylan is mouthing to Zach off mic that I'm in love with Colton Ryan, and I can neither confirm nor deny, but my face is beat red right now.
We'll cut that.
No, we won't.
But so you, what other roles would you say in college that you portrayed do you feel is like your best work then?
Oh, my. You know, as a college, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the show Follies.
Oh, yeah.
By Stephen Sondheim. We did that in college. And so that was kind of wild in the sense that you're talking about like middle-aged people with a middle-aged life crisis having their giant breakdowns about whether they live their life respectfully and in a good way or if they're happy with how they turned out. Mm-hmm. But you're having 20-somethings play both young and old. So in the show, there's a older version and a younger version, and they're having flashbacks the whole time. Yes. So I played young Ben, and Chris McCarroll played my split cast. So on the nights I wasn't playing, he was playing young Ben.
We saw the Chris McCarroll cast.
So I was the opposite of that.
Oh,
so
we missed you.
Yeah, no, me and Caitlin Houlihan played opposite each other in that show.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
So that was a great show. I'm really proud of that one. I'm trying to think. Oh, we did Dogfight, but I wasn't Klenna's track. I was the bad guy. I was not Birdlace. I was the other one, which I can't even think of his name right now. He's the mean of
Boland,
the trio.
Is that his name?
Boland. Yeah, and that was a super stretchy moment for me. I never was the mean guy. Like you said, I like dabble in like the lovely, nice characters. Yes. I shaved my head, got a high and tight for the show.
Wow.
For Showcase. So I had it. I had a shaved head for Showcase. And and then I was the mean guy for like 2 months. We did that show at the Beck Center. But I love that show.
Oh, it's so good.
You know, if you're a screamy tenor, that's what you want to do. And we heard ourselves. I'm so surprised I still have like a voice after that show.
Oh, my God.
Because you just want to be like a Marine.
Oh, yeah.
So
I've never seen that live, that production live.
It's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an intense show.
It's sad.
So sad. And it doesn't resolve at all. There's no resolution. He just has this post-traumatic stress disorder, and she's like, "It's so good to see you," and that's pretty much it. How it ends. They reconnect, and she leaves him again. Like she's like, "I don't want to be with you. You're not."
And
a
then
good
Bandstand takes on right after that.
I've never seen Bandstand.
Okay,
you would have to fill me in on that.
Oh, you'd be great in Bandstand. It takes place in Cleveland.
I have to play the piano though, right?
Oh yeah,
I do have like a piano degree, like a music degree that forced me to play, but I'm pretty rough.
And you play piano on your album.
I do. But like, not like fancy piano.
Okay. I know you said that someone else played the intro. And I noticed in the intro, that is like the chords from Dexter Hall.
It is. Oh my God.
And it is so beautiful.
I'm so impressed.
I am just obsessed with your album. I mean, I've told you a million times, like promote it for free.
Here's the deal. I got that pianist so drunk to record that because I was I'm a crazy person and I know exactly what it should sound like.
Mm-hmm.
And I made this guy drink so much whiskey and I was like, okay, here's the feelings. Like, I was like, it's sad. I'm talking about something that is so personal and this is about like outlasting and outliving. And I was just like, I was pressing him so hard. And then we laid down like 3 versions of it. And turns out later on, he recorded it in the wrong key. And so the next day, I was like, oh my God, it's in the wrong key. Because I had this big opening number plan. I call it an opening number.
Yeah, of course. Sure.
I had this big opening number plan. And I was like, oh, you have to change the key. So he sent me another version of him doing it. It didn't have the emotion I needed. Mm-hmm. It didn't have the emotion. I was like, I'm not going to say that. But I was like, buddy, you have to fix this. Like, we have to get it right. And you know what I did? I got really drunk on my own that night.
Okay.
Guys, drink responsibly.
Moose
and I got really drunk together.
Yes.
It's 3 a.m. and I whipped out January to June brand new all by itself in the key to match that piano solo. Yeah.
That's incredible.
So that song did not exist. And so the January to June reprise that happens later, that was the opening number for the album. And I ended up moving it down to the 4th track. And I wrote this new number, 3 a.m. I recorded it at 3 a.m. That's actually me singing at 3 a.m. that night. I'm matching that key to that piano intro.
Oh my
Bravo.
God.
Bravo. So that's my fun story.
That is drama.
That's the drama.
That's the drama. Yes. That's incredible.
Yeah, I haven't really told anyone about that yet. Yeah.
It's breaking news.
There you go.
That's so cool. I mean, it is such a. We're just going to talk about the EP.
I know.
Right
we should jump into it now.
It's available where all fine music is available. And it is just this gorgeous. Would you say, is it 7? Like, there's a couple demos at the end.
Like 6 and 1 demo.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, I don't even know.
And we are obsessed. It's so beautiful. It's affecting.
It's very autumnal.
It's a mood piece. Yeah, it is very autumnal.
When I think about those albums that like I turn on only in the fall, like Adele's 25,
yes, give us
Taylor Swift's Red, January to June is now one of the in those ranks
yes,
as well because it's just it's a mood. It's a mood.
Yeah, if you want to be in your feelings, it'll get you there fast.
Can you just like talk us through like what inspired you?
Yeah, so it's called January to June because that's when I wrote all the music for it.
Okay.
So I started writing in January and I finished in June, and then somewhere around late July, I decided that I was going to lay it down and like really make a full idea out of it. But it's about a breakup. So I just did this concert last week where I got to talk about this a little bit, but there was a near miss for Moulin Rouge this year, and I was in the finals. It was me and two other guys. And had a great thing to understudy Aaron and be the understudy for Timu. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we were very excited about that. And I kind of put a lot of pressure. I never put my pressure on myself, but I put a ton of pressure on myself because here comes the authentic part. Mm-hmm. Here comes the sad story. So Anastasia ended, and I was really heartbroken over it. And then about a month later, me and my girlfriend had ended things.
Okay.
And for a lot of different reasons. And then I was kind of drifting out of the Broadway circle, so I lost a lot of my friends, including the ones I'd see every day at Anastasia. So I was very lonely. So like, I got this show, Moulin Rouge came into my life, and I was like, you know what? If I can get this show, I'm gonna show her that I'm relevant. I'm gonna get my friends back. I'm gonna get all this money. I'm gonna pay my bills. I'm gonna be so happy, and I get this big like, look at me, like I do have a career. I'm not a one hit wonder kind of guy. And so it didn't happen. And it happened in a way where they told me I was just too young. They're like, he's everything we're looking for. He's too young. There's just no way around it. And so like when that happens, you're supposed to be able to take the pressure off yourself, but it didn't happen. So I started writing these really sad songs. And so Dexter Hall is named Dexter Hall because that is where me and my girlfriend at the time broke up. It's a real place on the Upper West Side in the National Archives. It's a hall of paintings. Okay. And we sat in that hall and had big blue walls, and we ended our relationship there. And so I wrote that song and I sent it to her, and you know, that kind of stuck. And then
and you filmed a video there too.
I did. That's part of the video.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to. People were like, "Why, Dexter Hall? You don't even say it in the song." And I said, "Well, it's because I'm describing it constantly, and like the feelings of sitting close to someone and saying nothing.
Yeah.
Or like the walls and how I felt in the moment. That is what Dexter Hall is to me. And going back there was so strange because it was a completely different place than where I was when I had that conversation.
Chills. Dylan's full body just convulsed for a moment.
Yeah. So
that's so cool. Beautiful.
Yeah. So like it just kind of developed from that. And I mean, I can go on. I mean, so if I had booked that show, if I had booked Moulin Rouge, that album would have never come. Sure. And so like when looking back, you know, they always say hindsight's 20/20, like, but I made something so beautiful out of this pain that I was feeling. And it was more for me than anyone else. And that was like really special to me. And it was important to talk about my pain. So yeah, I mean, the rest of it is like Sun and the Moon. That song comes from the idea. I was taking the A downtown one day and I passed her stop, and it's not an express stop. So I would always pass it on the express A. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I was like, this is the closest our bodies have been in about 2 months. And I don't even know if she's in her apartment right now. And that's where that whole song came from.
Wow.
I know. They're deep. They're
this
so,
is
deep.
So deep. Well, the sun and the, you know, like things she that never only pass.
Yeah, always, never, always. Yeah, exactly. Like, do you think about me when I pass when you pass my favorite spots? Because I just passed your stop and I thought about how close we are. So that's where that one came from. What else is after that? There's 2 months is a big old.
That's my favorite
that's
one.
That's the F word song.
That's my favorite one. That's my favorite one.
So that comes from a real quote. She sat me down. We were discussing our careers and discussing our life and our relationship. And she said, give me 2 months. I need 2 months to find another job and I will come back to you and we can start a relationship over. Mm-hmm. And then I remember when you said, just give me 2 months and then I'll come back and love you so much. Mm-hmm. Like that's the antithesis of the whole song.
Yeah. And then that part of the end where it just like turns into like an acoustic
That is the demo take from the end of it. Mm-hmm. I spliced it and I was like, you know what? I want to remind you where this song came from, which is just me screaming in my apartment.
Yeah.
Over how much I'm hurt. Yeah. And so then I had a fling this summer and I wrote 5 feet off the floor.
Hey, I love this.
She was super sweet. She's super kind. But I was like, I wasn't ready for anything serious. So sucks when you kind of drag someone through it. But that's where 5 feet off the floor. It was like the moment where I was like, oh, look at, I can function. I can get over this after all these months from January to June. For goodness sake, that's like a whole season. And I wrote that song about her.
Yeah. I'm obsessed. Hearing That's about so your creative cool. process, you also have like the cutest smile on your face. I know you're like, I'm proud of what you did.
I think the whole thing that I'm like, is this boring? Am I talking too much about this project?
No, this
I
is love great. It.
Okay, cool.
I feel like you're writing about a lot of, it's like a very like mid-20s album. Like when you're in your mid-20s, like I truly feel a lot of the things that you're feeling when I've parted ways with lovers, or you think about them when you walk past somewhere you know that they lived or where you were together and different feelings. So I feel like you really nailed it.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And just like putting it all together was just like a culmination of a lot of years, I guess. So it feels good.
Well done.
I don't know if I'll make more or not.
I was going to say, it feels like there could be like,
I mean, I've been like having fun, you know, like there's like two songs. I met this girl a few weeks back. Oh no. We met at an audition and we've been friends for a long time. And she had a hard time at this audition. So we went out and like got a coffee and then got a drink. And I wrote this song about her. It like whipped out of me. I wish I brought my guitar. I'd play it for you guys.
Did you write? Like, is this like a new thing for you? Like, did you write in college? Did you write?
I was always kind of, okay. I always loved playing the guitar, but you know, it took years. I'm a self-taught guitar person. Okay. So like I was in high school and I was learning the guitar and I was getting better over time. So it took some time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you for writing that. I mean, it was just beautiful.
I know. I'm obsessed.
My new stuff's a lot happier. Well, except that one song that was on Twitter. I'm lovingly calling it Home. I think that's a good song. Name for it.
It's a great song.
Yeah. It is a good one. Yeah. You know, I think I'm going to call it, if anything, the Winter Session and just like release two or three songs.
I love it.
We'll see.
It's
just for fun because we do it in our apartment. Like, it's just me and the dog. So...
Moose, who I've had the pleasure of meeting once.
I know he's such a little love bug. I used to see him this weekend. He's been away. Okay. I've been working so much that I'm going to pick him up this weekend.
Yay.
So I'm very excited to see him. I'll make sure there's a video.
Yeah, there's
going to be a reunion video.
You must.
So one of the big things that we discuss here on Drama is sort of like the moment that brought them in you into this industry or this business. And so it's based on something from the musical Fun Home, which maybe you've seen.
I have not seen.
Okay, so in the musical Fun Home.
Drama.
There's a scene.
No, super drama.
There's a scene in a song called Ring of Keys in which the main character has a moment of total identification and clarity. Mm-hmm. It's where their soul just swells and they see something in themselves reflected. Do you have that sort of a moment with theater?
I mean, when I jumped into theater, it was kind of like a bet between me and my sister. So I was like having a good time in high school as a freshman. And my sister was like, Zach, go and audition for the musical. It's a great way to meet people. And I was like, that's so embarrassing, first of all. Second of all, okay. And so so I went. I was in the ensemble, and it was fun. But it's not like a Ring of Keys in like the sense that I like fell in love. I was paired with this girl I had this huge crush on. And I had taken her to homecoming that year, and then we didn't end up together, and I was very upset about it. But she was my dance partner in the opening, and I worked so hard. So she went off to college, and I was like, okay, so that's done. And then the following year, they were like, we're going to do this show. Do you want to come in and sing for the lead? And I was like, well, I'm not a good singer, and I don't know anything about acting. So I was like, you know what? Why not? There's like everybody who they kind of were like toting around for this part was way older than me. So I was like, obviously you would give it to a person who's a junior or senior, and I was a sophomore. But it was Thoroughly Modern Millie, and I had the best fucking time. It was so fucking fun.
You were Jimmy.
Yeah, and so singing those songs, and I was never good at anything growing up. My dad's a big baseball guy. I was terrible at baseball. My mom really wanted me to be active, even though she doesn't care about that. But like, I remember crying as a kid and being like, I don't want to go to baseball. I can't hit the ball. I can't catch the ball. I'm really embarrassed. And I got up on stage that year for Thoroughly Modern Millie, and all of a sudden, like, I was naturally good at something. And that had never occurred in my life. And I came with all this confidence all of a sudden, and it really changed who I was out off the stage, because then everyone knew me as the theater guy, and I was like, you know what, I am the theater guy. So I went and auditioned at my local community theater that summer, and I was cast in High School Musical.
Great. Oh my god.
As like
Kenny Ortega. Yeah.
We were talking about Kenny Ortega before we started. Well, that's for another day. We'll get Kenny on the podcast. But I was cast as this narrator part, and I loved it. And my parents were so supportive, and I was so naturally good at it that I was in a show every single season from then on until I graduated.
Wow.
And it was just this moment where I was like, I'm finally found my place. Like, I'm finally good at something, something I'm really proud of and something I really love. And it changed my entire outlook on everything else.
I love that.
Yeah. It was just like one of those, I can't ever like relive it. I want to go back and be like, find your thing again. But you keep finding your things every day, just in different ways, you know?
It all happened the way it was supposed to. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, that's like the part where you like, you look back at like how you came to be the person you are now or person you are in the city. And you're like, how did this even happen? Because there's so many things that could have just gone this much wrong. And then I wouldn't be here.
Right. Yes. Like, 100%.
It just blows my mind. Wisdom. Yeah. Oh yeah. It blows my mind every time I think about it. Like even today, the things that you guys did in your day or that I did in my day, it could have gone 1,000 different ways and we could be in a totally different headspace right now. And the fact that we're here and we're talking, it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I know. Big change. You know, I feel like I've had a lot of change in my life recently. And that you too, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
and you know, with this podcast launching and everything, like it's amazing how sometimes things happen all at once or not at all.
Yeah, but that's exactly right.
It's all meant to turn out the way it's supposed to turn out. And also you're turning 27 soon. So Saturn's going to be returning, which we'll talk about off pod. I'm just kidding. But
I don't know what that means at all.
Basically, it means that the sun is going to be lined up from where it was when you were born. So from the time you're 27 to 28, like you can expect great changes in your life. I think I explained that properly.
I'm ready.
If you love astrology,
that's
you
a good
know,
thing.
Tweet me
I'm
and
so
tell
ready.
Me if I explained that properly.
I feel it.
Yeah.
I feel it. It's this shift we were just talking about. Yes. It's this shift of like, now I talk about my stuff openly and people really connect with it. And that was like a big thing because I thought if I was myself and you didn't like it, then I wasn't good enough. But now I'm myself and it doesn't matter. It's this great shift in my life.
And it's cool because you have so many fans. I mean, especially through Anastasia, like a lot of younger fans
too. The Fanastasias.
Yeah, the Fanastasias who are so devoted and they love you. It gives them permission then to be themselves authentically.
Yeah.
And that's what's really special about it as well.
And that's why social media doesn't have to be such like a hole that you can die in. You know,
right.
That's the beauty of like, I have a very small following and they're very... I hope I inspire them every day. I mean, if you do, why not? Those tweets, I'm very notorious on Twitter. I have a very aggressive Twitter.
it's very fun.
But they're for me too. Mm. I like sit and today, if you're looking for a sign, this is it. Go get it. And that was for me. I made my own sign. I said, this is my sign. You know what? This tweet that I just tweeted out, that's my sign for myself. I'm going to get it today.
I love that. You're putting it out there into the universe.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to.
Oh, I love it. Okay, wait. I want to jump into something else
Okay,
here.
Do it.
Okay. Because we're running a little bit short on time.
I know. We're going to have to do a part two.
Oh, it's okay. I can do whatever you need.
Okay, so as we're wrapping up this wonderful episode with Zach, we're going to do a little dose of drama. This is our chance to end on a dramatic note where you can share the drama in your heart, whether it be, you know, a show you're going to see, content you're consuming, a date or a lover you're moodily reflecting on. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling dramatic today? Like, what's your dose of drama?
Love to go first.
Oh, I love this.
Okay, so this is actually kind of ties into something that Zach talked about openly earlier. Is I heard recently that most of the principal contracts on Frozen are not being renewed.
Oh,
and
no.
I have a feeling, and this is I know nothing. Like I'm truly like this.
Oh,
is
I know just, some stuff.
I know. I think drama. They are probably doing some sort of like what they did with bringing in some sort of a celebrity or a stunt casting or something like not necessarily a stunt cast, but like a you know, like
an audience draw.
Yes.
Do you hear that? Is that like a rumble?
I have a feeling.
Oh, wait. Is it like a feeling like someone else? Do you know?
No.
Oh.
This is me. I'm just being a soothsayer.
Oh, I love this so much.
Because I heard that, because, you know, Casey and Patty are leaving. And then Joe Carroll talked about on his podcast that he is not returning as Hans. And so I'm like, who would they replace? What would happen? And I just have a feeling that someone who might be a TV person or a singer or something like that is going into Frozen. Disney has done it before.
Are we getting Zendaya as Anna?
Ooh, I'd be there for that.
That'd be so good.
I would love. She's hot.
It's tough. It's
in every way.
So, you know, and you mark my words now, we might be seeing some more, like, not that the incredible original leads and Joe Carroll aren't incredible, amazing. I think that we might see someone from, like, the entertainment business, like, LA come in.
Drama.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's see it.
It's Frozen's third year. Disney has been known.
Is it really?
Yeah, Disney's been known to do that. They replaced Prince Eric on Broadway. They had Drew Seeley from that he went in.
Oh, yeah.
Toni Braxton was Belle. She, you know, Disney is not.
Christy Carlson Romano played Belle.
You guys are a knowledge book, a book of knowledge. I have no idea what we're talking about.
That's my dose. We'll see what happens.
I don't do I want to make this admission? I don't think I've ever seen a Disney show.
Okay.
Any of them. Not a single one.
Well, you'll probably be in one at some point, so.
I don't know.
You could have been Jack Kelly in Newsies.
Yes. I would love to be Jack Kelly in Newsies. That's you guys want to know my go-to song, Santa Fe. Throughout college, throughout my first 3 years here, I don't use it anymore. But.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm too old now.
You'll probably slay it. That's what that's
I feel
so
like
good.
You'll be in a Disney show at some point.
We'll see. I mean, Frozen is another one that we came really close to the tour and things like that. But like, it never seems to work out. I'm a little quirky for a prince. I have a good time though. You gotta love a good quirky prince. And different quirky. Me and John Riddle are good friends, but like,
okay, yeah,
it's just like a different quirky.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Also, I like the word fuck.
Yeah. So. Wait, I suddenly really want you as Fiero, but anyway, okay.
Oh, I have a story for that too, but that's another time.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh.
Carter, do you have a dose of drama? I'm sorry, we need to.
I kind of do. My foot is injured, and I haven't been able to work out in a couple weeks, and I'm not wearing proper shoes to heal my foot, but I don't feel hot because I haven't been able to exercise in a while, and I feel really dramatic about it and very moody because I feel like my self-confidence is
I'm
low.
I'm having such a good time. No, I just think it's so cute. You're like moody. I'm like, I'm moody. I would be too.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I like just, you know, I can't.
Oh my God.
Exert any effort.
I have to change mine now.
Was yours?
My drama is like the polar opposite of yours.
No,
I had to go in for a show today, and I had to lift up my shirt and show my abs. And so, like, I've never
come
had. Oh no!
I saw that on Twitter.
No. Okay, so that's Natalie Walker. Shout out, come on the podcast. But
you heard it from Zach.
But cum gutters are the V.
The V line.
I don't have a V line. I just have like the outline of an ab.
Amazing.
But I had a big fear of mine is in fluorescent lights in a normal audition is lifting up my shirt and being like, my scene partner just be like, oh, you shouldn't show, you know, like really focuses on you. So I walked in there today and that's the first thing I did. I was like, I'm going to lift my shirt up now because I'm very nervous about that. And the director, sweet man, he was like, that's what you're worried about today? Like, you're not worried about all the other material that you have to... I was like, no, this is horrifying. Like,
he was like, bitch, that's your dose of drama?
But yeah. I hope
it went so well.
Oh my gosh.
It's terrifying.
Like, it just... Give me some side lights or something. I should have just painted them on.
Yeah.
I heard this drama already. Robert Pattinson in Twilight had spray painted abs.
Oh.
Ooh.
Someone told me that.
Because
I've been complaining a lot about abs lately, and everyone's like, well, did you know?
I mean, so many movies, too. Like, they even will blur people's skin and everything like that. Like, no,
nothing
is what
real.
It seems.
Mm-hmm. Except theater. Theater's real.
Exactly. I mean, if you see Slave Play, you will see fully nude people, and
yeah.
there's no
oh.
blur. And there's no, you know, it just is what
would
it
you
is.
Do full frontal?
I haven't been seen shirtless in public since 2011, so.
But like, would you see it as like freeing or like horrifying? Because I feel it's horrifying.
Horrifying for me as well.
I feel like it would be horrifying for sure.
Yeah, no, it's not my thing. Anyway, that's my drama maybe.
That does suck with being in the industry is, especially when you're on stage.
Yeah.
There's no hiding. There's really no hiding at all.
Yeah.
But I hope you book. I hope you book.
I hope I book it too. We'll see what happens.
I believe in you.
We are getting barged in at right now in our studio. Our studio is being taken over.
I know. Zach, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
For doing this
so fun. Are you kidding me? You guys are so fun.
You're a dream come true.
Oh,
you're
get
one
out
of the
here.
First people that we put on our list. We need to get
that. You asked me so long ago. I love being here.
It was truly just like still like a kernel of an idea.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, naturally.
We appreciate it so much.
Oh my gosh, this is so fun.
Keep
I love talking,
you.
So here we go.
Yes. Keeping you. You're so authentic. Everyone follow Zach on Twitter. Is it Zach M. Adkins?
It is, but you can call me Zach Madkins if you
Zach
want.
Zach Madkins. That's so fun.
It is fun, yeah.
So follow Zach on Twitter and Instagram.
They're all the
Instagram.
Same, yeah.
You'll see his wonderful dog, Moose, also.
Love him, yeah.
Who's and, also a dream come
and
true.
Also follow at The Drama Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Please yes. do.
And
follow at Dylan McDowell.
That's right, and follow at Connor McDowell.
Yes, Dylan is a lot more active on Twitter than I am, but... Follow us. And also on Instagram. You can follow us there too.
And
Zach, thank you again.
Thank you, Zach.
Bye. You're amazing.
And Connor, we will see you next time.
All right.
Drama.